Hello, this is Bob Prescott. I'm the head football coach at Huntington North High School, and you're listening to the Bob Prescott Coaches Show on Indiana Talk Sports on SB Nation Radio.
Welcome to the Bob Prescott Coaches Show. I am your host, Gary Snyder. He is the coach, Bob Prescott. Coach, how are you today?
I am fantastic. It's another beautiful day here in Huntington as we get a chance to prepare for another opponent and move on and get to spend another week together. And just so excited that we're getting that opportunity to spend another week with our players.
Well, I'm telling you what, I did not get the opportunity to go to the game on Friday. Just could not make it over there. But I'm looking at the Twitter feed. I'm following it on Twitter. And it sounded, with 4 minutes and 50 seconds to go in the game, it was Huntington North 16, Fort Wayne Southside 12. And then it was 23-20 with 2:45 to go. Then it was 30-20 with 2:38 to go. And then it was 37-20 with 1:38 to go. What the heck happened?
Well, let's back forward before we get or back up before we get to all the fireworks. It was my first time being at that facility, and they played at their home field. Really a nice old stadium. Our locker room was right under the stadium. You could tell that they spend a lot of time practicing on their field because there wasn't a lot of grass on it. It started off when we got off the bus. It was really kind of going to be a colder evening. You know, we thought kickoffs would be in the high 40s. Our first group goes out there and it's kind of chilly, and then by the time we come off the field, all of a sudden, it seems like there's been a little temperature shift. Really turned out to be a beautiful evening and somewhat fairly warm. We won the toss and deferred, and they got the ball, and they had the ball for 9 minutes to start the game on a 20-play drive. And so you can say, boy, your defense held up against their speed, and we knew that they were going to be very athletic. And would create some problems for us that we would have to adjust as the game got started. But I thought our defense hung in there and played really well. We had them in some long yardage situations that we wish they wouldn't have converted on, but we didn't give up any huge play. And so we ended up coming right back with our up-tempo stuff. Our offense, you know, you'd be concerned standing on the sidelines for 9 minutes waiting for your chance, but they went out there and performed and converted a couple of third downs, and we scored right as the quarter's ending. So it's 7-6 after the first quarter. Stayed that way until halftime, and then we got the ball to start the third quarter, and we end up trying to throw a pass, I believe, on third down that our receiver kind of tips it up in the air. And then they catch the deflection, and it's a pick six. And now all of a sudden they're up 12-6. They go for two and don't make it. And then we don't handle the kickoff return cleanly, and we're probably back on our 10-yard line somewhere to start the next drive. And to our kids' credit, we never panicked. We didn't panic when we were down 6-0 at 9 minutes into the game after that opening drive. Nor did we panic when we're down 12-7 and kind of muff that kickoff return and have to start on our own 10. And we drive it, have a nice long drive, but it stalls out. We get tackled just short on a fourth and maybe 7 or 8 play. Get tackled just short. Our defense comes out, holds them. Their punter has a cramp on their third down play. Is a tight end, and so they have to bring a backup punter in, and we we bring pressure like we always try to do. And the snap was a little high, and we recover the ball inside the 5-yard line right before the third quarter's over.
Does backup punter just scream apply pressure, especially in high school football?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we're going to try to show 8, 9, 10 guys up on the line of scrimmage every time, whether we bring that many or not. But for us, we went through scouting reports that they're scouting us to know that we're going to do everything we can to bring pressure. I just think in high school football especially that it creates – we want that snapper and we want that punter to know you're not going to have a lot of time. Everything's got to be perfect to get rid of it. And so it's just kind of our mindset to always be in attack mode and bring it. But it worked out really well for us.
I can't believe backup punters get many reps during the week.
No, they don't. They don't. Not in team time anyway. We get a lot in practice with our backups, but not a lot when it comes to actual reps in true punt team versus scout kind of concepts. So that was a huge play for us, and our guys were alert enough that they tried to scoop and score, and we've got it inside the 5. First down, we try to sneak it, doesn't go in, so we quarter end. So at the quarter, we're still down 12-7, and so we get a chance. We score. And then we go for 2 because at that point it's 13-12. So we go for 2, and we know we got an excellent kicker, and Aiden Hostler. But for us, we're thinking, hey, the way this game's going, that 3 points is pretty tough. Their kicking game was a little suspect on extra point field goal. So we thought that we could get the 3. That would be huge for us. We score, but they call a holding penalty on one of our linemen. So now we're backed up. We still thought we'd still need to try to go for 2 and find a way. And our pass fell incomplete to Mitch Gerber in the corner of the end zone. And so now we got a 13-12 ball game. And we get an opportunity later. As you said, we were up 16-12. We kicked the field goal, got the ball and kicked the field goal. So it's 16-12. You know, I've talked on this show all year that our defense has really played well enough to win some ball games, but our offense has struggled a little bit. And so once we're up 13-12 and then 16-12, you know, I'm just imploring our defense, you've got the lead. Finish the job now. It's been a while in the second half where we've had the lead and do this. And to really be honest, and I didn't even think about it until we're talking right now, you know, our 2 wins that we've had this year were games where we got on teams early and got out in front. And so to be in this kind of back and forth battle in the second half and actually have the lead, it was the first time we've been in that situation all year with these guys. And so just the way our kids handled it was fantastic. You know, we end up scoring again, and I can't even remember now. It got so crazy. But we scored to go up 23-12. And you're thinking, yes. And so in your Twitter feed, I'm not for sure how much time's in the game, 4 minutes, something like that probably, when we score 23-12. And then they score on a kickoff return touchdown. And I'm walking down the sidelines trying to implore our defense to find a way to get them stopped. And I'm thinking nothing's never easy at times when you're just trying to get guys confidence and do everything. They go for 2. They do a little play action fake and hit the guy in the flats. And now it's 23-20. And so I can't even tell you now the sequence of how it went, how you described it. But just so happy for our kids that they never panicked. They played with energy and enthusiasm all night. That we played really well defensively and at times offensively done some really good things and had some third down conversions to keep the drives alive that we've been lacking all year. And then we made a pass play adjustment late on a pattern when it's a third and 6 or 7 that we needed a touchdown. And we were able to adjust it and hit Cameron Faust, the senior tight end, in the end zone to kind of put the nail in the coffin. But it was a great night of football for our young men.
You know, it sounded like it, and it sounded like the fans that showed up got their money's worth, especially that last, you know, 4.5, 5 minutes of the game.
It was, and, you know, it's kind of, there's no question, and I've never done this as a coach, so it looked like me. We had a really nice crowd, so I always have to ask my wife, Laura, hey, what was our crowd size like? And she told me that our crowd at Fort Wayne South was much larger than their crowd. And that's a testament to our parents and our student body that travels, and everybody else that just follows the Vikings. And our kids are so grateful for that. I know coaches, we are too. But we had a really nice celebration gathering on the field after the game. And they all, just the crowd came out and got around us so we could address the team, and wanted our fans and parents to be a part of that. And at one point, the AD came over and said, you got to get them off the field. And so I said, all right, we'll push them back. We'll push them back towards the track. But just a great, great night for our kids that have worked so hard all season. You know, we had a tough stretch at the end there since our last win, I think, was like week 5. So it was a tough month or 5 weeks of prep. So it's nice to see our kids get a reward and a win in sectional play.
Who shined on offense? What'd you like? What'd you didn't like?
You know, I think they all shined at times. Gary Johnson, our kids call him Gary. I call him Garrett, his official name. He was a sophomore running back that got his first start in our tailback position this year. I thought he'd done a really good job of following his track and doing what he needed to do there. We've done some formation, little adjustments that helped. But I thought our kids communicated. I mean, they were bringing we knew they would have speed, and they were bringing guys up in the linebacking blitzing holes. And at times we picked it up well, which means our linemen communicated. There were some times that they didn't. You know, Mitch Gerber, one of our tight ends, has been out for a while this year. And it's the first time that I think he's played maybe since junior high. And getting him back at 100%, getting confident. He had a big third down conversion catch for us. Aiden Dennis got a chance to run the ball well. Cam McCarver has done his job at kind of our fullback and had a couple big runs for us. You know, Reed Johnson, our quarterback, has been under pressure and taken a lot of big hits in our passing game, has had a lot of sacks. And I thought he just hung in there and played really tight, played really well, and made some things happen. And then Lawson Shearer, who's had some big runs, he had a they kind of got a sideways horse collar on him in the first quarter, and he's a tough kid. I thought he was going to go down and not get back up, but he's a trooper and stayed in there. And just all our linemen too. We can't do anything if our linemen not doing their job. And we rotated a lot of guys in, and so Ricky Foster was our left tackle. Cade McAleese and Jeremy Clark were playing left guard. Cam Richardson's been at center. And then we had a rotation on the right side between Preston Burcham, Dane Pefley, and Justin Kinsey, and all three of those guys rotated in. And then at times, Dylan Trout comes in our left tight end spot with Mitch Sum. So our guys just done a job. Alex Callejos comes in and smells Lawson at times. So I just thought all of them done a really good job. You know, we didn't have the overall total yardage we want to have at times, but we done enough stuff to help get points on the board so our defense could just play loose and play free. And just so proud of them all.
Take a minute and talk about your defense.
Some people could say, wow, nine-minute, 20-play drive, and would be negative about it. And there were negatives there. The third and longs that we gave up was tough. But we told our kids before the game started on defense, be ready to adjust to their speed. If they have a play, you know, and our mantra as we continue to grow and develop is the most important play is the next play. And for us, that goes well beyond football. That'll go into life as they leave Huntington North and whatever path that they choose to go to, whether that's college, workforce, or the military. That, you know, as you grow up, that some days life is just tough. And so you've got to learn to handle that and adjust and make the next day be the most important day. And so our kids handled that really well. I thought they battled all night. We had some big hits. We flew around. I think we ended up with at least three. We might have had three turnovers, takeaways in the fourth quarter. And so the defense just adjusted and played really well. There were times that they tried to pass, that our three-down lineman was getting pressure without having to blitz anybody, which was huge, and we rotated guys in there again. So you have Nick and Nate Jacobs. Aiden Dennis had a big night at nose guard. Bailey Landrum as another defensive end, and then Noah Denny and Jeremy Clark got in there as well. So it's nice when you can rotate all those guys in, keep them fresh. Our linebackers played well, our three stacks. Ikel, we put him in some tough spots trying to cover some flat passes based on their formations, which was a new adjustment for this week. And then Aiden Rad continues to get better at our mic. And then Nathan York isn't the biggest guy in the world as our Sam linebacker, but he filled the hole nicely, and Cam McCarver came in and helped there. And then our outside linebacking core of really, we just kind of used two guys this week, and Keegan Landrum and Matthew Klein done a nice job setting the edges and helping us out. Matthew got an interception late in the game that was really, really good for us that we needed to help put the game away. And then in the secondary, Jackson Holzinger had his second game back playing at 100% at safety. And then we rotated some more corners in this week. Lawson Scherer went to the cover side, and then we rotated Michael Klein and Alex Gallegos. And they came up really big and helped us keep everything in front of us. And so when you look at giving up, you know, the scoreboard says 37-20, but our defense only gave up one touchdown, and that was that opening touchdown. Their other points came on a kickoff return and an interception return. So we're ecstatic by the way our defense played Friday night.
Who's our player of the week this week?
It's going to be our quarterback, Reed Johnson. Came up big. He had had an interception. It was returned on us early in the third quarter, didn't hang his head, came back. He was 6-for-7 in the passing game. So really you could say he was 7-for-7. Every pass was caught by somebody. But 6 of the 7 was completed to our guys.
Like to count that one, though.
No, we do not. No, we do not. But the seventh pass that we called and threw was the big touchdown that sealed the deal for us to Cameron Faust. And so he's hung in there. He was able to scramble and keep a couple plays alive and get some passes that we needed to convert some third and fourth downs for us. And he's hung in there and been positive all year. And then he also got our first rushing touchdown of the night with the quarterback's knee. So I thought he played really well and has hung in there and been really positive for us all year.
All right. Well, congratulations to Reed Johnson. Coach, can you hold through the break?
I absolutely can.
All right. You're listening to the Bob Prescott Coaches Show. I'm your host, Gary Snyder, on Indiana Talk Sports on SB Nation Radio.
Hi, this is Gary Snyder right here at the Indiana Talks Network. We recently did some light remodeling and spring cleaning at our home and needed a dumpster. And if you haven't priced dumpsters lately from the large trash companies, don't. Give Black Creek Hauling and Contracting a call at 260-494-5364. Adam will deliver a 10, 12, or 15-yard dumpster to your home or work site and pick it up when you're finished. They're on time. They clean up. Again, give Adam at Black Creek Hauling and Contracting a call today, 260-494-5364. You can also follow them on Facebook by searching Black Creek Hauling.
Welcome to the Haunted Hotel. Check your sanity at the door because there's only one floor available. Although superstition tells us to avoid the 13th floor, this Halloween it's your ultimate destination. At the Haunted Hotel, located at its new location, 1885 North Jefferson Street in Huntington, we only provide thrills and chills. No need to bring any clothes, as the Haunted Hotel provides you with a hood to wear on the 13th floor. You want double occupancy? Not at this hotel. You'll have to try to hang on to your friends. You think you know what to expect as you move from room to room? You have no idea what will pop out next. The Haunted Hotel, 13th floor, will have the most frightening guests you can only imagine in your worst nightmare. Every Friday and Saturday now through November 2nd, 7 to 11 p.m. for only $10. Visit hauntedhuntington.com if you dare. Check in to the Haunted Hotel, 13th floor, every weekend for a psychological thrill you won't get anywhere else. The Haunted Hotel at 1885 North Jefferson Street is awaiting your arrival.
I'm Gary Snyder, host of the Gary Snyder Show right here on the Indiana Talks Network. When you run a digital media company, it's important all aspects of your technology works. And when it doesn't, you need a team that can figure out what's wrong and get it fixed. So when my iMac took a dive, I called Troy Office Solutions. Troy came on site, diagnosed the problem, and got it fixed fast. And most importantly, got it fixed right. So if you have a computer, server, network, or any other problems with your technology, give Troy Office Solutions a call at 260-760-4629 to get it fixed fast.
All right, welcome back to the Bob Prescott Coaches Show. I am your host, Gary Snyder. He is the head coach of the Huntington North Vikings football team. Bob Prescott, you still there?
I am still here.
Yeah, because a lot of people use that time to book, so I'm just checking.
Yep, nope. I'm anytime I can talk Viking football, I'm going to be around.
All right, you guys come off a big win against Fort Wayne Southside. You come home next week in the semifinal rounds of the sectional. You play a very, very good Mississinewa team. Take a few minutes and talk about Mississinewa.
Well, first and foremost, the biggest thing for us is we get to spend another week with our players. And I truly believe this. I believe that our players enjoy being together. And I know as coaches, we just thoroughly love hanging out with our guys and getting to spend time with them every day on the practice field. And so that is first and foremost the biggest thing for us. We got the opportunity to have donuts and film Saturday morning and also take care of a new tradition that we have and that was big for our kids. So we got that done. But as we get ready to play Mississinewa, if Delta would have won, we would have traveled to Delta. But since Mississinewa hosted week one and we were on the road, we get to host. So we're thrilled. I know our seniors even talked about the opportunity to get to play on the home field at least one more time and how much that means to them. So we're grateful for this opportunity. Mississinewa is 9-1. Very, very good football team. They're ranked, I think, 8th right now in the coaches' poll. And what we've already started to tell our kids and we'll emphasize Monday when we really get into our classroom time and go through our game plan and scouting report is that you've already played a ranked team before this year. And so we've got some experience getting a chance to do that and had an opportunity to go up to East Noble and play them pretty well. Warsaw, we went to Warsaw week one. They've been ranked at times in class 6A. And then Leo and DeKalb have flirted. So we've played some very good football teams this year. That gives us some experience playing a very good Mississinewa team.
Yeah, I think their only loss came to Eastbrook, and that was a close game.
That is correct. That is correct. And so they are a senior heavy team. 16 of their 22 starting positions are seniors. They'll be very big up front. In some aspects, what we have some similarities in, I think they are a run first team. They will pass it and spread it. They got into some really unbalanced, unorthodox, wildcat concepts in the second half against Delta Friday night, and allowed them to win. I believe that game was, watched so much film now, I think it was 0-0 at halftime. And so I think it was maybe 10-7 or 7-3 or something like that after three quarters. So it was a really competitive ball game between Delta and the Sinawa. Both of those teams were ranked. So we'll come after them and make sure that we put ourselves defensively in the best position we can against their big guys, and just ask our guys to pin their ears back and make everything happen. And then offensively, we'll build off of the confidence that we got Friday night, and try to find some creases and just find a way to do it. I know that they tried to shorten the game against Delta, you know, and that was kind of what we had to experience with Fort Wayne Southside. You know, they tried to grind a lot of clock and was not in a hurry. So we've got to let our up-tempo help us and give us an opportunity. And so when you play in a game like this, one, you love playing at home, and I know our fans will show up. My hunch is they'll bring a big crowd, so it'll be a really neat environment to be a part of.
And they better bring some gloves, too, because I see snow flurries in the forecast.
And which is hard to imagine, because as we're talking right now, I'm standing outside our stadium, and it's beautiful out. And so the sun's shining. And but, you know, the one thing we told our kids Saturday morning is, hey, you're getting a chance to play in November. So the ball game is on Friday, November 1st, and that's a neat thing. And when you hit November in Indiana, you're going to have some times where you get some snow flurries and do some of that. And we'll just, you know, our main goal is to find a way to get the game into the fourth quarter and be close, and then make something happen.
All right, anything else you want to add before we get to our football picks?
No, it's just a great opportunity for our young men to grow in another measuring stick, and we're going to play as hard as we can and have a great week of practice and see how we measure up with some of the best in the state of Indiana.
All right. Well, we look forward to it. I'll probably come out to the game and snap some pictures for you, and our dog wants to too, apparently. Oh boy, we'll start with the big house of whores, as it's called, from last night. Michigan just puts a spanking on Notre Dame, I think, in a monsoon. I don't think I've ever seen it rain so hard, but you called it. I was being a homer. You win. So the Irish come back home next week. They play Virginia Tech. Your thoughts there?
I'm sure they'll regroup. It'll be tough. You know, the tough thing for the Irish is, I know they had aspirations of trying to find a way to get into the top four to compete for the national title and the playoff system. With the two losses, that's probably out the window. So for them, they've got to find a way to rebound and have pride. I'm sure they will. Virginia Tech has done some good things, but that's not the best Virginia Tech team they've had in a while. So I'll go ahead and play it at home. I'll go with the Irish.
Yeah, I think I'll go with the Irish, too. I think they bounce back after not showing up last night, taking the week off, if you will. All right, next we have the Hoosiers at home. They got their sixth win against Nebraska. I think we both picked them there. The Hoosiers, Northwestern comes to town. Northwestern not living up to what they have been the last several years, so I'm going with the Hoosiers to get their seventh win. They might be the best Indiana football team out there.
You know, and I will pick them as well. This is huge. You know, if they can get to seven, and you know, you get to the point when you win the games you're supposed to win, you know, you're growing as a program and things are getting better. And so, you know, they went to Nebraska, where it's never easy to play, and and won a tight one. So it's huge for them. So I will take the Hoosiers.
And finally, Purdue, boy, they didn't play very well against Illinois on Saturday, losing 24-6. They now travel? No, they're at home to Nebraska next weekend. So, even a broken clock is right twice a day. I'm going to go with the Boilers over Nebraska.
I'm going to as well. You know, I think if the weather holds up, you know, I think part of all that rain and stuff that they dealt with yesterday and having a young and inexperienced quarterback's tough. And I think Illinois is better than people think. And so, and Nebraska is struggling as well to get some confidence. I'm going to take the Boilers at home.
And just a quick note to whoever's playing Ohio State next week, block Chase Young.
That might help.
And don't try to do it with a tight end either.
Yeah. Yeah, you better know where he's at.
Anything else you want to add, Coach, before we let you go?
Nope. Just, again, so grateful that we've got an opportunity to spend another week with our players, and we're going to make the most of it and continue to get better every day.
Thanks.
Look forward to seeing everybody Friday night. It's a great day to be a Viking.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck, and we'll talk next Sunday.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Bob Prescott Coaches Show on Indiana Talk Sports on SB Nation Radio.